the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
This year's Kentucky Derby is wide open. Horse players will need all the help they can get. Begin your quest for the first Saturday in May success with ExpressBet's Kentucky Derby Wager Guide. It's available free online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, April 26th. Horse Player Now's Bob Neumeier, XBTV.com's Jeff Siegel, and Millie Ball, Daily Racing Form's Dick Girardi, Santa Anita's John White, and At the Races radio host Steve Vick analyze the race according to main contenders, value plays, and $100 wagering strategies. Plus, get intriguing stats, trends, and daily updates you won't find anywhere else. NBC's Eddie Olchek joins experts in a revised guide version available May 2nd. Go to ExpressBet.com to get the guide, to open a new account, and to choose your bonus of up to $500 in time to wager on the Derby.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from EchoBase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. Just about 20 minutes in, Richard Mandela just starting this briefing, and I thought about taking it over the audio, but there's really what are we going to glean beyond what's transpired? Really isn't anything to. You'll read about it later. It's just a very unfortunate circumstance. And Sid Fernando joins us. Sirewatch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. And Sid, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, what a blow for some great great trainer and a horse that really appeared to have a terrific chance.
There's also the subplot to this, Sid, and he'll continue to be an outstanding stallion prospect and has already accomplished plenty, but here this comes 48 hours after Spendthrift invests in him, and I talked about it on Monday that you negotiate those kinds of deals when your horse is at peak value ahead of these races, and this one's going to be the textbook example.
Yeah. you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, these horses are at their premium value before the classics, whether you're buying the breeding rights, you're trying to get a piece of the horse as an ownership entity. And, you know, that's just what happens. After the classic races, obviously, values deflate significantly, especially if there's less potential coming out of these races. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, a stud farm would love to have a horse compete in the classics and get that win, as was the case last year with Justify.
Well, he's going to continue to be a son of Warfront, and he's still a beautiful, handsome horse, and the procedure that he'll undergo to free up the entrapment, and he'll go on, just that he's going to need, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, so we'll look for him later.
Yeah, Roadster is a horse, you know, coming off something similar, so you see how...
That's right, that's right.
You know, recovery... And back to competition frequently is successful.
And I'm just in the back of my I don't know if the mic is picking this up with the audio over ahead from here in the media center, but Mandela basically laying out the timetable with the procedure next week. He said they will not, surprisingly said, you know, talked to Dr. Alday earlier, he said they're going to do it under the shed row, and as opposed to, you know, putting them on a table. So there's that must be partly based on the endoscopic exam as to, you know, the difficulty and so forth. So Mandela says he thinks 2 weeks after the procedure he'll return to training. How about that? Good job.
Yeah, pretty quick. Yeah, pretty good.
It's just tough for somebody like Richard, who I think between him and Bill Mott, there's you know. Not that this is their last swing at it. You know, one of the best storylines that hadn't really been explored and fleshed out as much as it probably should have been was the fact that you go back to 1984, Sid, when Bill Mott, Richard Mandela, and Shug McGahee all ran their first Derby horses the same year. And how about that? And, you know, here you are decades later and three Hall of Famers and literally three of probably, what, the top 25 in the game's history.
Yeah, that's really quite a little nugget of information.
Yeah. That's what we specialize in. And so do you. Sid, let's dive into this and get some thoughts. And, you know, you've been just a font when it comes to particularly the exotic players that are going to slip a little bit under the radar, who haven't necessarily shown how much talent they have when races have been limited to a mile and an eighth. But we're going to go a 10th panel on Saturday.
Yeah, and for that, I'm going to give the listeners four horses, and it's also the subject of my column in the TDN, so anyone can, it'll come out tonight, I presume, for Friday's paper, but I flesh it out a little more in depth there. But I think, Steve, even before Omaha Beach was taken out of this race, I talked to you about this on here, well known among most people as well, that the race felt kind of wide open, right? You had Omaha Beach, but you have another cast of very strong horses below them too: Roadster, Improbable, Game Winner, you know, Maximum Security, Tacitus. It did seem kind of wide open. It seems even more so now. And I think there are four horses in here in particular that have a chance to get into that superfecta territory. And one of them, well, I'll give you them in my order of preference, but I think Tax, the son of Arch, he breaks from post two, and I think he was bred by Claiborne and Adele Doe-Schneider. Everyone knows he got claimed by Danny Gargan the second time out. He's bred to be a progressive colt, and he's not a typical closer type of horse. He's not the Arches can be late developing horses, can sometimes become plotters, but this colt is different. He has speed. He's up early in his races. He trains well. He shows fast times in his workouts. With that kind of profile and the pedigree and the progressive nature of his races, I think he's a great value at 20-1 morning line.
He's also, I tell you, he's also a absolutely gorgeous individual, Sid. And three mornings in a row that we've seen him, he comes out there, he's got a bowed neck going, and he's one of these horses that kind of puffs up, and I'm impressed. I had not seen him in the flesh. In fact, I heard from Randy Hill yesterday, and Randy's excited about Vekoma and Tax, but I said to him, you know, both of them, he talking about Vekoma with me, but I said, you know, both of your horses look terrific. Terrific physically. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, all right, Tax. He's one. The next one, talking about physicals, I have Frances J. Caron is on the ground, and in her opinion, this horse looks like a man among boys, and she's very, very good at looking at horses, and that's War of Will. 15-1 by Warfront, the same sire as Omaha Beach. Out of the Sadler's Wells mare, great family of Aviance. His pedigree-wise, he stays, okay? If this horse had not lost his last race, he'd be among the favorites. You can pick him up now because of what happened for, you know, much bigger odds. So, to me, he's a gimme, right? The odds, and he's still the same horse. Of course, the odds reflect the fact of what happened and the time between starts and the rebuilding of it. But if you want to take a shot, he could still give Warfront that Derby winner.
I'm anxious to hear the next two, because I will mention to you that one thing I had sought out was the old-fashioned sire and dam sire average winning distance statistics, Sid, and so far you've mentioned two of the four that have got the average winning distance numbers in their favor. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the next one is probably not going to have it, and I'll preface it by saying this. A lot of horses in this country, you know, people think we breed only speed, 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 but in reality, we breed strong 9-furlong horses. It's not that we're breeding sprinters in this country. We actually breed very good 9-furlong horses, and many times a 9-furlong horse with the requisite class can win a Derby over a horse that may be bred for the distance, but is his claim to fame is that he has the numbers to get the trip, but he may not have the class. The last two horses I'm featuring are examples of that. This one that I'm about to tell you is the one who is the 9-furlong horse, but has a progressive profile, and he's by my standards. He's by Golden Sense. Everybody thinks of him as a speed horse. He was very fast, of course, but don't forget he won the Santa Anita Derby. He's out of a mare that was a 9-furlong winner on turf, a black type winner on turf in California, and she's from a Gone West Lion Stallion. It's not a great pedigree, but here's what I like. This horse was a came out of a 2-year-old sale, and he breezed in 10-3, which is not fast. Didn't make his debut until late November, took 4 starts to win his first start, and then won the Louisiana Derby next out. That type of profile, Steve, the way he races, I think he's a horse that's gonna give you a good ride to hit the board. Now the horse that is gonna shock some people, but is a horse that is incredibly well bred for this trip. And here's the case of a horse that's well bred, but does not have what you think is the class, but may get there on that plotting ability. This horse is a plotter. He's going to come from behind. He's going to take advantage of pace breakdowns and the way the Derby is when you turn for home and a lot of horses have already shot the load, and he's going to be ridden to place. And that's the Japanese horse, Master Fencer. He's by a Sunday Silence Line racehorse. He's from the family of Saint-Jovite, the Irish Derby winner for Virginia Craft Payson. He's obviously bred to stay, 2 miles. He's already raced at a mile and a quarter twice at two. He got it, backdoored his way into this race because of this Japanese road to the races they've manufactured to try to get the Japanese simulcast wagering on it. So basically, he's not a black type winner, nor has he placed in a black type race. The best horses in Japan are turf horses, and they've got this road to the Derby set up with just like I think four dirt races. And this horse was actually the third option. The first two horses declined to even come. This guy's coming anyway. You figure he's going to come. He's probably got something. But what we know about the Japanese are they breed horses to stay. This horse is, by all accounts, unflappable, has a great temperament. And if he's just put in that race and given that, type of ride, he could well get into a placing.
He's going to grow on people too, Sid.
At 50-1, he better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And last year Instilled Regard 80-1. I can understand that he cuts a nice physical impression. I actually this morning. Because I walked from the backside to the front side, and I went around the far turn, and that's a wonderful vantage point, not just for taking photos, but there he was taking a walk after yesterday's half an hour plus Japanese style work regimen, which included the galloping, the light workout. Slow time, trips to the paddock and the visit to the gate. He did a little of everything. He was like somebody on one of those trolleys taking a tour of Churchill, and he stayed out there a long time. And then today they take him out of the stall. They don't want to coop him up too much. It's obvious. And he'll be, tomorrow morning we'll watch again. And I wasn't surprised that you ended up including him in the conversation.
There you go. I didn't want to, but after looking it over, it's like I did the same thing with Instill Regard. He was, of course, far more qualified. And incidentally, with this horse, I ended up having a conversation with Ray Pollock, and then the representative for Derby, the Japanese representative for the Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, the Triple Crown, the Naira, the Churchill Downs. Her name is Kate Hunter. She chimed in and was very offended, I think, that I even questioned the fact that this horse was in the race and could take a spot away from an American Graded Stakes winner. But her comments notwithstanding, I put this horse in. Because of that pedigree and what could possibly happen.
Sid, in addition to the four price horses that you always offer in these conversations, is there a more logical win type that because these are horses that
invariably... these are all
These are prices to have fun with and to not, you know, forget about when you're building your tickets. But who would you expect as a winner in here? I mean, if there's somebody that and don't worry about price or anything, just who do you expect to win this race?
Well, I'll tell you, Steve, the reason why I went this way is because I think I can punch a hole in a lot of horses, you know, one way or another. They're all fine horses, but, like, for example, Roadster, you know, inexperienced, 4 starts, 17 posts, he's been handled with kid gloves, and now he's got to go to war. You know, Improbable is a horse that's lost both starts this year at 9 furlongs or less. I don't think he's going to suddenly find 10 furlongs to his liking. He's a game horse, stays and fights, but he happens to be from the same family as Hard Spun, and I think he's got a typical profile too. You know, he may very well run and stay on, but he might be sharper once they revert him lower. Game Winner is the horse I really like. Of course, we have a rooting interest in Game Winner for the West. But the problem with him, Steve, is that he's a big horse and he's got to be hard ridden from a ways out because he's a grinding type of horse without that gear changing ability. And I'm worried about, you know, how they kept him wide in the Santa Anita Derby because of that, just to keep pushing away with him. They did it last year in the Church Breeders' Cup Juvenile outside wide. But in the Derby with a bigger field, is he going to lose too much ground or is he going to get stopped by traffic and hamper that forward progress because he can't change gears quickly? Maximum Security is a horse that, set those ridiculously slow early fractions. He's a fast horse, though. But, I mean, is he going to be able to be tested? And Tacitus is a horse I think is really for the Belmont. Francis Caron, by the way, says he's gorgeous as well.
Yeah, no, he's good looking.
Yeah. So, with all that in mind, I think that all of those horses are in play. But I can't just sit down here and say one of these horses. That's why I'd like, you have to kind of mix and match some of these and see what you can, what sticks on the wall when you put it together.
Well, the price plays have helped players here for years, Sid. So we appreciate it. Not at all. Tax Warb Will, who just exactly has looked beautiful every single morning. And
Who are the other two horses you said
on the average winning distance? The other two were Improbable and Game Winner.
Yeah, they definitely Game Winner. Yeah, no question about it. Improbable is going to get there because his dam sire is AP Indy.
Exactly. Right. And I'll tell you what's fascinating on War of Will is that dam. And Sadler's Wells gives just tremendous. Because it's funny because people. Who was I talking to off air? It must have been Andy Serling, and Andy said, everybody's carrying on, about certain stallions, like for instance, Golden Sense, going into this. Andy said, why isn't Warfront? I mean, everybody's making like this assumption that just because he gets turf runners, that means he's going to, naturally get a horse that's going to excel at 10 furlongs. It's a good point. There's no.
He's known for shorter horses,
right?
Milers and sprinters, no question. But it's like I was telling a major farm owner the other day who asked me for my opinion on it. I said, with the female family behind War of Will, and the fact that Warfront, can get you that occasional horse like Declaration of War, for example, won the Grade One Jugmont International at 10.5 furlongs. It's possible, and grafted with the Sadler's Wells component of it, certainly adds more stamina to the equation. So it's not just the one part. You got to look at the entire thing. And this is a horse that it's worth. Andy brings up a good point, but I think in this particular case, if he didn't have the stamina behind him with the family and Zadler as well, I think I'd question it more.
Well, and that's that's part of this. That's what makes it fun. That's one of the reasons I wanted to go look for the average winning distance numbers. And it's kind of an old school stat, but it's certainly right. Germane. And the other thing, although we didn't talk about it, and I promised yesterday that I would reach out to Caton Bradar, and then I've been carrying around for a couple of weeks Bob Fierro's piece from TDN. Bless you.
Yeah.
About biomechanics and about physical, the physical properties. I do want to
have interesting piece that was.
Yeah, it was, and it was fun too. He brought in his family's first television into the whole storyline, which was really cute.
Yeah.
I do want to have that discussion because one thing that struck me. Yesterday morning, Sid, was the first day that I wasn't up high. And it's one, you're watching horses gallop from the fourth floor and then getting down closer to ground level. I was in sort of the half deck. And seeing them there, the ones that I hadn't seen in person before, the field it seemingly has got a majority, a preponderance of horses that are built kind of intermediate sized, more squared bodied types, and it's interesting that there aren't as many aircraft carriers here, long necked and route looking. I want to have this, and the horse that actually started us on this whole angle. Was win-win-win when Gary Young mentioned that, everybody wondering about the two turns, and he said, the horse does not stride like a sprinter, that he's got a much bigger stride on him. He's got a router's stride, and I do want to have this exercise. I thought Caton was as good for it as anybody, and we're going to follow up with that biomechanics discussion
a really good thing to follow. And sometimes you don't need the scope or the physical size. You take a horse like John Henry, for example. He was a small, very small horse, 15-2, but he had this daisy cutting action and stayed all day. So you take a look at the horse, and I think Bob's a good guy to talk to because they talk about power within the structure as well, and sometimes too much power takes away from that ability to stay.
Absolutely, and we're gonna. This will be worthwhile. I appreciate it, Sid. As always, enjoy Derby Oaks weekend, and we'll talk next week.
Talk.
Sid Fernando, everybody. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. And we're going to stay right here. We're only going to have one more break this morning, and that'll come some point in hour three. Still to come, actually, regarding the rest of the morning. Nick Tamaro is going to swing in here to do the Friday discussion, and then we'll do the Saturday work with Nick tomorrow. And there's a chance that Maury Wolf is going to join us at around 11:30. And it is Thurby, so both Darren Rogers and son Davis are going to make their selections. This has become a tradition. Doug Salvatore in here somewhere as well this morning. And right now, one of the things that we look forward to, it's more fun when they would be sitting here with me here or Belmont or anywhere. Steve Haskin and Lenny Shulman together again. And through the magic of radio and television and modern communications. Let me say good morning, Steve Haskin. Or Lenny.
I'll say hello. I can do that.
You sound like you're what are you in some what is it? A cave?
I'm in a cave in Nunsuch, Kentucky, yes. Believe it or not, Steve, I'm hard at work on an article on a trapped epiglottis.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, you're later on. I want to make sure everybody's aware. Let me get this out of the way again. 6 to 7 tonight at the Lexington Barnes and Noble, Hamburg Pavilion, 1932 Pavilion Way, if you want to put it in your device, in your ways. And Lenny will sign copies of Justify, 111 Days to Triple Crown Glory. He'll also sign, if you got copies of Long Way from Home, his first comic novel, or his second comic novel, Points. What's Points?
That's a, yes, it is Points.
Yeah,
not only comic, drama, mystery, passion, everything.
It's got everything, including a character based on Steve Haskin. And let's try again for Steve Haskin. Steve.
I'm here.
Say something.
Ask me something. You're the host.
No, not when the two of you. When the two of you show up, I slip into the background. Say hello to Lenny.
I talk to Lenny every day.
So it's not that interesting, huh?
It has been. I don't know if we can maintain it this long.
I can't believe you just called Lenny a has-been, but all right. Let's Steve, by the
way, let's go. I mean, you're the moderator. Get the ball rolling.
Okay, Steve, how did Omaha Beach's scratch affect you personally?
It affected me a great deal personally. It really put a major damper on the race. I've been on a horse's bandwagon for so long. Been in contact with Rick Porter, you know, emailing him back and forth and talking to him on the phone all year, and texting with Dick and talking to him on the phone all year. So, I mean, losing the horse is bad. Losing Mr. Mandela and Mr. Porter is... makes it even worse, and losing the favorite. So, you know, it just compounds each other and just makes it into, I don't know, just put a big damper on it.
Yep.
I know the Derby moves on, and you got to forget about it. But, you know, it's just a bad timing. You know, the
horse
got through a quarter crack, and he just looked like he was getting so good. And I just thought he was the class of the race, and we're just looking forward to seeing him, you know, breaking out. But I'll show you how much class Dick Mandela has with all of this going on. He called me up. He knows how much I love that horse, and believe it or not, he actually made me laugh. He told me, I told him, I said, look, I just feel so bad for you and, you know, all the work you put into this horse. He said, no, don't worry about it. He says, if you can't be here, I don't need to be here.
Yeah. Nice. That is nice. Now, he's such a unique guy, and of course, you've gotten to know him well, and, you know, Lenny, from your perspective, you were here yesterday afternoon, you know, everything was moving along swimmingly, and then 6 o'clock, here comes.
Yeah, you know what I keep going back to, Steve, when we were, Steve Vick and I were in the paddock watching Improbable School yesterday, early afternoon, and at one point I asked Baffert, I said, so is Omaha Beach the horse to beat? And he kind of looked at me and didn't answer that question and said, no, you know, this horse, Maximum Security, is the horse that I really, you know, I'm thinking he's going to be the one. And I just wonder whether Bob sensed something or knew something or saw something in the way the horse Omaha Beach was training, but I thought that was very interesting. You know, his answer really didn't address Omaha Beach at all.
Well, and frankly, if we go back to Santa Anita Derby, I've said this a few times since we were in California. Literally, I don't think the race was official, and he was talking to people in the winner's circle, and the first horse that he brought up was Maximum Security. He just runs 1-2, and the first horse he's discussing is Maximum Security, which I thought was very telling. I really, that has stuck with me.
Well, you know what it is that you got to remember, by the way, he knows Omaha Beach. I mean, he almost beat him with one horse, and he came fairly close to beating with his other horse. So he knows where his horses stand with Omaha Beach.
That's a good point.
Omaha Beach is a known quantity. He doesn't have a clue how good Maximum Security is, and neither do any of us. So he's the unknown factor in here. I think that's what scares the trainer more than anything. He knows what he has to deal with, you know, with Omaha Beach, and he's run against him twice. He's seen him in the mornings, so he knows the horse. He doesn't know a thing about Maximum Security, and like I said, none of us do. We don't have you look at a $16,000 claimer, and you have a tendency to dismiss him. But all he's done is when everyone, I mean, he's won his four races by an average margin of 9.5 lengths. I mean, that's ridiculous. And again, we just have no clue. And I know people are going to say, well, you know, he was out on an easy lead. He set slow fractions. I don't care how slow you set fractions, but a front runner coming home his last 3/8 in 35-4,
yep.
I mean, if you get a horse coming from way back, and he breaks 36 for the last 3/8, that's tremendous for a front runner to do it. There's quality there, so you know, and it's not like he came from meager beginnings. I mean, you know, he's bred by Claiborne, and you know, well, listen, Gary West. I mean. You start looking, and you know they don't breed bad horses. So it just so happens that he had issues, and you know, I was talking to Ben Glass, the racing manager, and they couldn't give him away. He's trying to sell him as a yearling for $15,000. Nobody wanted him. Then nobody wanted a stallion. He got Becky gave him away to a but nobody would even stand him, so he had to sell him for dirt cheap to Brazilian interests, and then he sells the dam for $11,000 to Korean interests. The full brother can't run; he's just as a cheap claimer, and the sister sold twice for $3,000 and $5,000. So, I mean, you know, you look at him and you say, "All right, well, then, you know, you put him in for $16,000. They just, you know, he had over 100 horses." So, you know, when you have that many horses, you got to cull the crop.
Yep.
And he was the one. He just gave them to Jason Service with a few other horses and said, just move them on and get rid of them.
Yep, exactly. We've discussed that. All right, let's press forward and get some ideas in here. Steve, it's kind of time to make selections and keep it at least under 8 or 9.
12 and 12.
You sure? You know, what do you?
I have I have no strong feelings. You know, with Omaha Beach out of the race, I'm going to move Tacitus into my main spot on top, only because of the fact that if there is anything about the withdrawal of Omaha Beach, who would have been a great Derby God story between Rick Porter and Dick Mandela. Maybe it was to make room for another Derby God story. Maybe it's Bill Mott's turn. I'm just looking at particular incidences. And with Tacitus, I just look at the beginning of the Wood Memorial, and I said, look, I mean, what that horse went through, I mean, for an inexperienced horse, to get slammed around the way he did, and actually got turned sideways in there, and then absolutely bull his way through horses and knocking him out of the way. I said, this is a very tough horse. So it's basically, you know, him slightly over Game Winner. I still think Game Winner is an excellent horse. But you know, my long shot, I mean, I'm not going to bet either one of them. I'll bet him in the exactas, but The horses I really like to bet. I'm still a big fan. Number one of Win. I mean, and then number two would be Tax, and number three would be Spinoff. These are the three long shots I've been touting all year.
Nice, nice. That's a listen. That's exactly, you know, that's exactly the right approach. You know, a couple of the, you know, the major players, and you know, three of the, you know, the, you know, three cushion shot types. Lenny, where did you end up?
Yeah, well, I thought the Derby God story was, you know, finally getting a win for Bob Baffert would really be an unusual story. So I'm gonna go back to game winner. I'm not sure about it. I like Steve, was on Omaha Beach pretty heavily. I go back to the juvenile and what game winner was able to accomplish there. And you know, he is moving in a little from the outside now with the scratches. And, you know, I think he'll be able to get position and maybe grind it down. I love Tasvis as well. I love his wood. Love the way Win looks out on the track every day, as well as Tax. I'm kind of parroting Steve here, but those were two horses that really caught the eye the last few days training at Churchill Downs. And, you know, I asked Baffert about Roadster also yesterday, and he kind of shrugged and he goes, he's good. I just don't know how good he is. We're going to find out. So, you know, he's the kind of horse that, you know, may not be equipped for the Derby, or he may pop up and be a freak. You know, oddly enough, he had a similar procedure to what right. Omaha Beach is going to go through now, only it was his left side as opposed to the right side, so it's called a tie-down surgery as opposed to have a glottis surgery. But he went through the same thing. Obviously, he had it at a much more fortuitous time after running in the Del Mar Futurity late last year. So his recovery is complete. He's had the two races. Obviously, nothing to criticize out of those two races. And, you know, if he keeps moving forward, who knows that he may not be the freak. So, you know, Roadster's one to watch.
Right. I broke down in my column. I broke it down to categories. You know, speed ratings, works, breeding, just all, you know, all different factors. And you know, I mean, it's spread around. You know, I try to assimilate everything. But like my two favorite works, I mean, the horses I'm going to be putting in the back end of exactas. But my two favorite works that really not too many people have mentioned. By Code of Honor and Cutting Humor. And Cutting Humor was at Palm Beach Down, but if you watch his work, I mean, I absolutely love that work, working alone for the first time. And Code of Honor's works at Keeneland and Churchill Downs have been absolutely flawless. I know everybody's talking about my, you know, By My Standards works, you know, which have been very good. And a lot of people are talking about War of Will. The only thing with War of Will is that, you know, he's been fighting the rider, even in his gallops. He's, you know, he's got his mouth open. If you watch his races at Fairgrounds, you know, he's been very headstrong early. So I think the fact that he's fresh, he didn't get anything out of that last race, they got to send him from the rail for sure. But they're going to have to, you know, if you send him, you have to rein him in, you know, to prevent him from getting good to rank early. And as far as breeding, I narrow it down to my two favorite horses that I know are going to love the mile and a quarter are actually one horse, which I would definitely move up if it comes up sloppy, is a big bomb, is Plus K Parfait.
Nice.
This horse has got so much mile and a quarter pedigree in there. It's unbelievable. And he's already won in a mile 3/16, and he's got incredible slop pedigree. If you're looking for a long shot to move way up, in the slop to him, and the other breeding would be Tax. I mean, I absolutely love his breeding. Both these horses are guaranteed to love the mile and a quarter. So, and then, like I said, if it comes up slop, definitely a Plus K Parfait would be moving up. You know, I even put a category in on toughness, and we have all saw Tax's toughness, but his stablemate, a Country House, big, strong, powerful horse, you know, still immature, still learning. And he's inbred, and he's got that Rasmussen factor. He's inbred to one of the great mares of all time, No Class, who he got, you know, Regal Classic and Sky Classic, and it's a family of Dan Smartley and Malibu Moon. I mean, it's incredible. Anyway, she is by no double, who may be the toughest horse I've ever seen, one of the toughest horses I've ever seen. So you got him twice in that pedigree. And I think that's where he gets his toughness from. So if you're looking for a horse that can bull his way through horses, Country House, you know, and he's definitely another horse I'm looking to throw in the back end of my stackers and trifectas. So just a question now and see how to race, you know, with Omaha Beach out, it changes the pace a bit, you know, because he was a horse who was so push-button that whoever was in front is always going to be in jeopardy of him coming up at some point and challenging them. And now you have, you know, you got horses. Maximum Security is not a lock to go to the lead. I think he can rate. I don't think there's any problem rating him off the pace. But between War of Will and Vekoma and him, I don't know. I don't know what kind of pace we're going to get now. But I think horses like Tacitus and Game Winner will be laying right behind the first tier. So
I don't think he kept it under 9 or 8, by the way.
I think he
just talking to these horses. I'm giving you a rundown of the race. I'm not allowed to mention these horses.
I have.
I'm giving a rundown of the race and works and stuff like that. I gave you my picks already.
Double digits.
Lenny, before we get to Esoterica, your final thoughts.
I'm just going back to Omaha Beach for a second. I echo Steve between Dick Mandela and Rick Porter, and also the incredible kind of unofficial partnership between Larry Jones and Dick Mandela in bringing this horse along. I mean, there are just so many great stories surrounding that horse that I think anybody whose job it is to write about, you know, this race and these things, you know, was salivating over that possibility. And, you know, obviously it's got to be very personally disappointing for Mr. Mandela. Certainly Rick Porter, tough businessman, made his stallion deal at the absolute correct time. So even though there's personal disappointment there, there's got to be a business satisfaction there that he's done it again. You know, he did it with Hardspun. As far as the fillies go, Songbird and Lava Grass and Jostle and all these other great fillies that he's the only man in the black in this business who plays at the level he plays. I don't know anybody else who's in the black who has been in the business as long as Rick Porter is and plays at that level of spending millions every year on yearlings. It's a remarkable achievement, and it's too bad he hasn't been able to realize this, but you know, I've been talking to surgeons all morning, and this is a very short recovery time. You can go back into training a week after the procedure. So if Omaha Beach is as good as we all think he is and can keep improving, you know, I think you got to look at him as a very strong Haskell Travers, Pennsylvania Derby, Breeders' Cup Classic, Pegasus horse. And so all is not lost yet.
Yeah, another thing,
not,
too,
not
by the way,
all.
You have to remember that this is the 75th anniversary of D-Day. So, I mean, how perfect was that to have a horse named Omaha Beach win on the 75th anniversary of D-Day? Everything was in place for, you know, for an incredible story. And, I don't know, you know, it just didn't work out.
No. And in fact, within the last 45 minutes, Mandela saying the procedure will occur this afternoon, today, in the stall, and he figures he'll give him 2 weeks to recover before he resumes training. So it's just, you know, considering how sedate everything was, I mean, that's the part of this that is just crazy. And of course, Heichel having to now, you know, we're gonna have to wait and see about this abscess, and apparently if he trains okay tomorrow, he'll be okay to go. You know, it's just amazing that we would deal with this at seemingly 11th hours, as it were. All right, Steve.
I don't know if you'd buy, anything goes wrong this close to the race. Yeah, you know, I would certainly give second thoughts about running a horse with a foot abscess 2 days before a race.
We'll wait for that one.
You know, I've seen it. Yeah, we have had a Kentucky Derby winner. I was talking to Lenny this morning about it, too. We have had a Kentucky Derby winner who did have an entrapped epiglottis during the Derby trail.
Ali Sheba.
Yeah, and it just shows you on the timing that his was early enough that they were able to do the tie back on there, and he came back and finished first in the Bluegrass and, well, got DQ'd, but then won the Derby.
But, well, and that procedure took place on March 24th that year. So that just shows you the being further out made the difference. And they had had hints. Van Berg had sensed that something was not right. And of course, Stevie also brought this up with All Day, too. We didn't get into it, but he also was having some, occasional bleeding incidents.
The epiglottis.
Yeah, well, this horse has had it, too. I mean, this didn't just pop up. He's had this problem for a little while already.
Yeah, this thing can come and go. It
right.
can entrap and then unentrap kind of on its own. So it's a tricky deal. Until you actually put a scope down there and see what's going on, because it's not a condition that necessarily sticks around. It can actually come and go. So it's a tricky deal. It's just unfortunate.
Well, otherwise, Lenny, you'll be back tomorrow. Of course, you got the book signing tonight at the Barnes and Noble, 6 to 7 or longer. You'll stay as long as people keep clamoring for.
I will kiss babies. I will do anything I have to do.
Steve, I can't, it's not the same with here without you.
Oh, thank you.
Wait, how do you mean that?
In the best way possible. Are we going to get a Baltimore? I ask you every year, you've considered some Baltimore cameos?
I doubt it. Again, I don't have credentials. I don't have place
oh
to stay.
Oh my God, so the credentials! The
and I don't go anywhere without Jones. So I'd love to go down there. By the way, go to Michael's for some crab cakes and crab soup, and then maybe go out there one morning and then go home.
I think you should.
We went there a few years ago because we got invited. Paul Redham invited us. We didn't bring him very good luck. He has Nyquist going, so
you shouldn't.
But I do miss the Preakness, though. I miss that was the most fun of the three races.
Absolutely. Well, boys, I appreciate this, and Lenny, when you talk to him later, you can maybe get some words in edgewise.
I'll try.
Steve Haskett, everybody, and Lenny Shulman, Bloodhorse, folks. We'll stay right here, and Mike Welch just joined me, and we haven't had a chance since last week to get Mike's thoughts about the Derby and Oaks workers. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Obviously, the shifting sands here takes Omaha Beach out. We're also waiting for the Heichel news. What's you and Dave Grenig and the team hearing on the Heichel front?
Nothing more than Dave reported this morning. A foot abscess, obviously not a great situation. They're going to try to work on it, get him to the track tomorrow from what I hear, but certainly wouldn't surprise me if he comes out as well.
Unbelievable. And, of course, as we talked earlier with the Briss Twin Spires team, if Heichel were to come out, it would help War of Will because he would get to move into the two-hole.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's still inside all the others, and he's going to have to, go. Still 18 horses outside him. And the thing that worries me most about War of Will, look, he trained terrific here. There's no doubt about that. But despite the fact that he's also a little headstrong, too, he really hasn't had a race since February 16th, because you can't count the Louisiana Derby as a race from the Affid. I mean, he didn't get as much out of that race as a lot of the others that coming out of there. So, it's tough to go a mile and a quarter with really only one sort of a half a race under your belt since the middle of February. So that's got to work against him, too. And he's going to have to relax. And, you know, there is going to be some other horses that are going to have to show some speed from the outside to try to get position. If he can get loose and relax, he looked terrific the other day. We know he has a lot of ability, but there's a lot of factors working against.
Let's get kind of the top line. I've downloaded last night the Oaks card, and for folks that this is the report is up. It's 9 pages. There's reports on plenty of horses beside the Oaks runners.
Yeah, we did the whole card. Yep. You know, we got team everywhere. New York with Dave Grenning helped there with the few that came out of New York, and of course Donald Harris at Keeneland's done a great job for that meet this winter in Florida. And I got Toby Terrell in California, and he's been terrific, too. So, and I've been here trying to get as many as I could over the last 10 days. It's a pretty extensive report, and I'm working on Saturday, and it's been taking me hours and hours to put this one together and figure out who I saw and then put it together with what the guys saw. So hopefully we'll have that one out by 5 o'clock today. I'm not sure with all the other stuff going on, but we'll see what we can do.
You're still 24 hours ahead of it. And
there's plenty of time.
Let's talk Friday for a minute, then we'll do the rest of Derby. The Oaks Fillies, of course. And hold on, I'll give you the quick sheet, which
That's
is my
fine.
Favorite tool in the arsenal. There you go.
Okay.
Mike, some thoughts. There's the biggest question, which is, let's be honest, looking at Bellafina, it's hard to be excited about betting her.
Yeah, she's certainly not a pretty mover in the morning, and I don't think she's gotten any better since she's gotten here. She's 2-1 in the morning line. I'm going to guess with all the negative talk about her, everybody seems to be, you know, thinking they're going to try to beat her. She might be 7-2 or something, or 3-1. If she wins and pays $9, guys are going to go like, what am I thinking? But, I think her biggest problem is, you know, just the way she goes aside, because my California people tell me that's how she goes anyway on a regular basis, is the pace scenario, the extra distance. You know, what kind of trip she's going to get. The one bad race in her form is when she traveled here last year and ran off in the off the board in the Breeders' Cup. So, like I said, if she's a short price, and she still will be, I don't know if she's going to be 2-1. You know, there's a lot of reasons to maybe side against.
The fillies that have looked good, there's a few that have kind of bubbled to the surface that people would not necessarily have been focusing on when we arrived here 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, well, Champagne Annie One's a horse that comes off her best race with the blinkers on in Florida, and she's really moved forward nicely here back at Churchill Downs. So I expect she's going to run a big race if she can trip out. And again, looks like a lot of speed in here, so a horse with her running style, it should benefit her, but it's a bulky field, and you still have to get lucky and get yourself a clean trip. I like the way Chocolate Kisses has looked coming out of her last work. To be honest, I missed her last work. But the two or three gallops I've seen from her with the high energy level, I like what I saw there. And she is a horse that will come from out of the clouds, too. Lady Apple has been on the muscle here. She seems to be maintaining her good form, and 20-1 on the morning line. You know, same with the Positive Spirit, 30-1 in the morning line. And I just look, you know, just like the way she's looked here. Don't know what to do with Jaywalk. Big question mark there. Maybe coming around to her best race yet. But
the most recent.
Yeah, no, she seems to be doing well and maybe coming around. But again, she's a horse that wants to be, you know, up front early, too. Same with Serengeti Empress, you know, coming off that bleeding situation. You know, it's always in your back of the mind, are they going to do it again? And her work was terrific, but she'll be under pressure early. Street Band has looked good. Liora had a big work, but I just think she's a little overmatched in here. Restless Rider is interesting.
She looked better today.
She looked a little better today, but I don't know. She was supposed to work Saturday. They had to put off the work for whatever reason. She worked Monday. She just didn't look comfortable out there. I saw her work all winter, and she looked a lot better working then than I saw her on Monday. But, you know, maybe I'm making a little bit of a mountain out of a molehill. You know, she's coming off a terrific effort off a long layoff. She's supposed to move forward. Numbers-wise, she should be right there. But she's also drawn on the extreme outside, which isn't going to help her either. So kind of against. I mean, look, if she won off that last race and she runs, you know, like you would expect her to without having seen her train and knowing that there was a little issue, and then maybe a very little issue. I don't know. I didn't talk to Kenny. But she's got a bunch of things or a few things going against her as well. So
if you had to make an exacta box right now?
You know, I think I'm going to take a shot with Champagne Anyone and maybe throw a few price horses in with her, hoping she'll run at least 1-2.
There you go. Champagne Anyone on top for Mike Welch. Let's talk about Saturday, Mike, and we'll get through the horses that we've seen the most. The talking horses have been War of Will, By My Standards in particular, win-win-win for anybody that wanted to believe. They've got reinforcement off of that fascinating four-horse tandem cluster on Sunday. Some thoughts about who's been best coming into this race.
Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned a bunch of them, obviously. By My Standards has been really good. Not only one work, but several works. And it is a track she trains on, you know, she's run on before and ran well in her maiden race. And she looks like a horse that's just, you know, totally, or he looks like a horse, excuse me, that's totally, you know, moving forward with every start and ready to run an even better race. And he's going to have to, numbers wise, he needs to move forward again. But, he's sitting on a big race. Improbable, I thought his last work was excellent. I love the gallop out. The blinkers are off now. He was a little rank early. Florent Giroux worked him, even though Irad will ride him. Got him to settle down, though. But, you know, a couple of question marks with him, too. Will he settle down during the race? And can he get a mile and a quarter by City Zip? I wound up picking him, after Omaha Beach came out. He wound up my top pick in here. I just like the long strides and the way he gallops out. I think he'll probably get that mile and a quarter, but, this is just so many of them in here. I mean, Vekoma, numbers wise, he's moving forward, off to what should be his best race yet. You watch him gallop and even race with that paddling style and you scratch your head. Maximum Security, hard to learn anything off those works down there. It's just Jason's style. Not the prettiest mover in the morning. I thought he was a little better today than yesterday. But maybe I could see why, you know, the way he goes, they ran him for 16 the first time. He's probably not going to get loose on the lead in here like he did in the Florida Derby. He's done nothing but win, and it's going to be a real odd situation if the Florida Derby winner is going to come in here and be 15-1. I don't know when the last time that's happened. Tacitus, just not a great workhorse in the morning. Wasn't horrible the other day in that four-horse cluster that included win, win, win. I thought he's looked good on a regular basis in the mornings. I like the way he gallops. I like the way he finishes all his gallops. He looks like a horse that wants a mile and a quarter. You know, because I can't remember the last time anybody has won this race out of the Wood Memorial, but, that was the last prep he chose. It doesn't mean he can't do it. Then if there's if he can get the right trip, I wouldn't throw him out. Plouquet Parfait look good in the mornings, but he looks as cut under. Cutting Humor has worked well. Code of Honor has looked like he's ready for his best race yet. Give him a little mulligan for the Florida Derby with the pace scenario. And his work here was great, and his works over at Keeneland were good. Game winner, you know, what can you say? He's, you know, probably the best horse in here, but he has a penchant for finding trouble. If he can work out a clean trip under Rosario, certainly wouldn't surprise me if he won. He looks like he, too, is moving forward to, you know, his best race from a numbers standpoint. Roadster, you know, beat Game Winner last time, got the better of the trips. Mike Smith took off him to ride Omaha Beats. He winds up with Florent Giroux, but, no problem there with Florent, that's for sure. He's certainly riding well. Spinoff, trained okay, tough post out there, you know, Country House, Bodie Express, again, on the outside. But I wound up picking Improbable by default. I had picked Omaha Beach. And By My Standards, of course, is going to be my long shot play. And, game winner wins 4-1. Let him win it 4-1. I mean, I certainly wouldn't shock me or anybody else.
Give me these top four. Improbable, By My Standards.
And Code of Honor is my fourth pick.
Game winner, third, and Code of Honor. Code of Honor. COH. Mike, do we have this year's Teppan, a horse that that showed up that nobody knew about when we would watch in the mornings?
We got some horses on the work tab, at least the ones that I've seen, and I haven't even looked at what Donald and Toby has brought me from Santa Anita. But I got a couple that I've got some good grades on that could be sneaky in there. The fact that they're working well. Now you got to go back, and you got to go into the context of the fields they're in. One horse I was kind of wanted to play here, and then I looked at the field, and then he's got post 14 was Last Judgment, because he's worked terrific, you know, for the Pat Day Mile down at Palm Beach Downs. But he drew post 14, and there's some others in there that are doing well too. That's one heck of a race. And poor Global Campaign stuck on the outside looking in at post 15. I know Stanley Huff, you know, really wanted to run him in there as well. So, you never know. Like I said, there's a bunch of horses. You know, it's a cart full of good horses. And good horses, for the most part, work well.
Right.
So you're going to get a lot of good works. And then you have to just take them in the context of the races they're in and what kind of trips you think you can get. But, like you said, we've had Teppans and that paid big prices. We've had a few others over the last couple of years that have paid anywhere from $12 to $35.
Twinette last year.
Yeah, that was a good one too. Coming off a big work on the turf here. We had something. I think I remember when Stephen Skagg was doing it for us at Keeneland. There was a sprinter. They won one of the turf sprints that we had that paid a big price. This is going back about 3 years now. So we'll see, you know. I mean, again, a lot of these races are going to be decided by the trips these horses get. So you need a good work, you need a good horse, and you need a good trip. And then the weather, again, how much that's going to factor into things, how this turf course is going to handle the rain it's going to get. That's a huge factor, just as it was on Breeders' Cup Day here. You know, a lot of horses just didn't handle that softer surface, and we're liable to see that again, which is just so totally unfortunate. And the same with the Derby and even the Oaks. I mean, not sure how much rain we're going to get, but it looks like we're going to get some, and that could wind up being a big factor, too. I mean, maybe it's going to make the track, you know, give you a little inside bias, which you know, would make a big difference with a lot of these horses where they're posted and how they wind up tripping out. Calvin Burrell is not here for the Derby, so we can't figure out exactly who's going to wind up on the rail if it's Golden Rail. But
Corey Lannery is one candidate.
Well, he does.
He could work his way over with Cutting Humor because the speed is going to clear.
He could. He'll try, but. If he can, but sometimes, you know, in a 20-horse field, sometimes it's not easy to do. And to do it, sometimes you have to sacrifice so much position.
And wouldn't Gabe Saez be a candidate from his Heartspun trips? That was Mario Pino with Heartspun, but eight
Well,
bells.
You know, now, you know, you look at these horses that drew down inside. I didn't mention Tax either. I thought Taxes look good here.
He's a handsome horse.
Yeah. He's done well here, too. You know, you kind of, like, groaned when they drew 1, 2, and 3, but if you get a wet track that might favor the inside, then, you know, maybe those nays or yays come post-time Saturday. But at this point, it's anybody's guess how the weather's going to be, how the track's going to play, and that's just part of this fun puzzle.
Right, of what we do.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Mike, exactly. We always have so much fun. You and I are the advance party, and then everybody files in here. And,
yeah, I enjoy it here the week before when it's quiet,
me too.
We could just hang out with John and the rest of the Clocker team and have some fun up there. Now you got to scramble. It's hard to find a parking place. The Clocker guys are up on the roof, and we're in another spot, and it's every man for himself.
Exactly. I'm going to put up a wonderful that group photo. Wait till you see it. It took a group photo of everybody that's together. Early in the clocking game. Upstairs.
And I want to give a tip of the hat to the clocking crew here, and to Beth, who is a help, and John, who's a help, and the other guys, Pete and Donald, and then the other John. And John, too. There's two Johns. They're all great to work with.
You can call him Black John. There's nothing wrong with that.
They're, I got to be politically correct, but they do a terrific job. People don't understand how hard it is, when there are so many horses working at the same time, and even 3, 4, 5 isn't enough. I can vouch for that at Saratoga. I can vouch for that at Gulfstream Park. So I just want to give those guys a tip of the hat, too. And Beth, the guys and gal.
Who has to interpret everything, write it all down, record it, and get it posted to Equibase. It's the most fun that I have on you know, that portion, the mornings.
And if it wasn't for your donuts to keep the guys on a little sugar high, I don't know if they get through those long mornings. But it's 5:15 to 10 o'clock every day. It's a long morning, so I know those donuts come in handy at 8 o'clock or 7:15 donut delivery.
Exactly.
From Steve for the week and a half.
Well, it's my pleasure. Mike, thanks so much. Mike Welsh, everybody. DRF Welsh, DRF Grenig, DRF Privman. DRF everybody, exactly, is DRF McGee and DRF Byron King. And also Nicole Russo. We didn't get a chance to talk to Nicole. Maybe tomorrow. Nicole does a fabulous job. Let's take our only break, a second break of the of this Thursday, and we'll come back and we'll have about, we won't have a lot. We've got about 30 plus minutes. I'm hoping that Darren and Davis come before we get off the air, but Doug Salvatore and Nick Tamaro, talk to Maury Wolf and Paul Matisse tomorrow with their Derby opinions, probably Steve Chris and Satish Sanan, the whole gang. Let's take a break, come back, and close out this busy Derby here at the Downs.